Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. Good Wednesday morning to all of you. I had a little bit of some technical difficulties getting up and rolling here this morning, so I appreciate you joining us. We just do this by, I'm on the computer. I don't have any fancy cameras in this, and I got some, and I got a green screen behind me, but this is, for those of you sitting out there thinking that we're sitting in the middle of Fox News Studios, baby, that's not the truth. We're a low budget operation, doing the best we can here, and appreciate all of you joining us. Jared, my webmaster's in North Carolina. I'm in Ohio. It's amazing what we're able to do here with the little stuff that we have. So we appreciate you joining us here. We don't put any precepts or any, we don't want to fake anybody out to think that we're more important than we are. We're pretty important. I think we're really, really important. I was encouraged yesterday in the after show that, just some testimony, some guys who saying, sometimes when I get behind here and do this show, I use this illustration a lot when I had a chance a couple weeks ago, week ago, 2 weeks ago to speak at one of the local Open Up Ohio rallies. And, when I speak, you get what you get. I'm high energy. I am what I am. I'm high energy. I'm loud. And it's not an act. What you see with me is what you get. It's not an act. And sometimes I think I have trouble being taken seriously. Maybe not, but I really think that. And I spoke off the top of my head about a week ago, said something about this dome that's over the top of us that we can't get out. This message ought to be going to more people, folks. I'm sorry. I go back and I look at stuff. We bring stuff to the table that's, man, it's right. It's right on for the times in which we live and what's going on around us. And if you've been with us any part of any time at all, you're allowed to have whatever beliefs you have. You don't have to come here and be lockstep with me and be a sycophant of Coach Dave and what goes on here at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministry. Not about that at all. We're trying to do everything we can to awaken and then to train and equip and immobilize Christians to, man, come on, man, let's get rolling here. What we try to do. We have a lot of people that I don't agree with theologically. It's not worth going to war over with me. I don't care about the timing of the rapture and a lot of, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Doesn't impact me. If the Lord sent me if I got a telegram from the Lord tomorrow telling me that the rapture was next week and gave me the exact date, I don't think I'd live my life much differently than I do. And to me, it's not about the rapture and it's not about going to heaven and hell. It's not about the resurrection from the dead. It's not about any of that. I get one opportunity to pass through this world just like you do. I get one shot at it. I get one chance. The things that I do today are going to, I'm going to try to make sure that they're going to impact tomorrow. The things that I do tomorrow, I'm going to pray that they impact the next day and continue to work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. That's how I live it. That's how I live my, that's it. It's the way we do it here. And so I was encouraged yesterday. And my wife's always telling me, she says, here's part of the problem with Coach Dave Live. And Mark Trump brought this up a couple weeks ago. There's no real physical interaction. You're sitting wherever you're sitting. You get up every morning and you walk into the same place that you watch the show. And you sit down in front of your camera or whatever you do. And I come down my steps and we do what we do and we communicate. But there's no eyeball to eyeball. There's no flesh to flesh. And there's none of that going on. Because of that, it's kind of hard to gauge sometimes the effectiveness that we have. Because I don't watch you in your everyday where you live your everyday life, and I don't, you know, you don't see the way I live my everyday life. And because of that, again, it's one of, I got a good show this morning. Okay, stay with you. I'm trying to take you somewhere. And to understand that our time here is short. And we don't have time to squabble amongst each other. We don't have time to squabble over whose pet project is most important, whose view of the world is most important. We just don't have time to do any of that, man. We just don't. And as you know, I said to Michelle, the last, I don't know, how long has it been? 2 months? My schedule's been wrecked. It's been wrecked. I've been home almost all the time just because the world in which we live. And as I said, there's something bigger going on than all of that. And one of the things that we try to do when we come here every day is try to make sense out of things that don't make any sense. But they do make sense. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We may not be able to know the whole story, but we can know some of the story. And that's what we try to do here. And I just appreciate all of you. And just appreciate it. Chance to be able to be here and join with you every day. We're having I would just ask for, I wasn't going to say this, but I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit to say it. There's a gathering of people, guys in particular, coming up this way in Ohio this weekend. And fellowship, eyeball to eyeball, getting to know each other. And if you're one of those people who would like, you know, usually come and you're not aware of it, say, Coach, I didn't know anything about that. I've kind of kept it kind of low key. If you're interested in maybe coming and being with us on this weekend, just send me an email. Because to be honest with you, I have to do somewhat a bit of, what's that word? I got a screen, folks. I don't want just anybody here. So if you're interested in coming, send me an email. Say, hey, Coach, give me some more details. I'd like, because I know there's some of you out there who probably haven't communicated it with. So looking forward to the weekend. We're finally going to get some decent weather, warm weather around here. And folks, crazy times. I'm going to jump into that. Some I got a couple emails today from viewers. What would I call them? Viewers? People who watch the show. Really, really good information. And I was up early again this morning because so many of you are sending me so many good things. I try to watch everything I can, try to read everything I can, try to see how it applies and where it plugs in. And so I just want you, all of you out there, to know that I appreciate you. I do appreciate you. And I try to answer every email. So that's getting kind of burdensome, actually, more and more, but I do appreciate it. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, listen, if you could make an offering, it would really help us. We have this event coming up this weekend, and, you know, we're going to feed everybody that comes. And it's just expenses. This isn't done. We don't do this free. And we've been hit hard, like everybody else has. Charities have been hit hard. Some of you haven't been going to church since some of the money you normally give a church. We promise you we're going to make good use of it. And we're going to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. So one other thing I want to make sure people know, because we're getting more and more people who tune in every day. If you want to be part of the show, some of you are watching on Facebook, some of you are watching on YouTube, some of you are watching on, I don't even know all the platforms we are. Are we still on, what's that thing, Periscope? I don't even know all of them. A lot of you watch and say, well, Coach, how do I get in the show? Well, you can only get in the show by going to our homepage, going to CoachDaveLive.com. Jared, can you throw that up there? Sheldon, whoever's working on that, because I've been, people making me aware of this, and then I forget to say anything about it. But up there on your screen, it should be CoachDaveLive.com. Let me get there. There it is, Coach Dave Live. And now, folks, do you see that right there on the very top of it? It says join the queue. Join the queue. Now, that means that you can click on that, join the queue, and then you can become part of the show. You're not just a spectator. You're not just listening to the show, but you can actually come in here where Larry is and where Dale is and where Kevin Van Story. You can actually become one of the people. And at that point, you then have the ability to come on and give us your 2 cents worth. You get it. You have an opportunity to do that. So once you get in there, there's a little microphone. We'll show you how to unmute your microphone, and you get to come in there. So I get some emails. People say, how do I get in there? Well, right there it is. Join the queue. Right now we have 47 people that are available at any moment to be able to become interactive in the show. And that can be you as well. But not at Facebook, not at YouTube, not at Periscope, not at any of those other places. It can only be done at CoachDaveLive.com. And then if you're in the queue and you ever want to say anything, you got to click on your red microphone, and then that unmutes you. And then you can become interactive and become part of what's going on. So thank you for letting me, for doing it. And really, I'm telling you, if you could send $20 our way, it would really help us. We're going to have a great weekend. It's been cold around here. It's awesome. What, yesterday's show, transformation. I got thinking more and more about that. I wonder if any of you did. Any of you settle in as you go throughout your day? I did some mowing yesterday on the lawnmower. Got my earbuds in. That's when I think the best. I love to mow because I think the best. And I got thinking about more and more about that transformation. And it always jumps me back to Mark Trump. Not that he's my best buddy or anything like that, but Mark's brought a lot of information to us as far as sound waves and all that kind of stuff. And Mark, help me out. What is a transformer? I remember back when I was a kid. Well, I still remember it now. When I walked down the street, on the sidewalk, you had the electric wires, and they ran into this great big box, and it was called a transformer. And I had a little train set, and the train set, you plug the train set into the wall, and the engine started running, but it had to go through a transformer. And we talked yesterday about being transformed. Trans means across, trossed. Formed means, so something's going on. Mark, what goes on with a transformer? What's an electrical transformer? What does it actually do?
It takes a known voltage coming into it, say 15,000 volts, through a number of coils, and then a separate set of coils that don't touch each other. Okay, the two wires don't touch each other. It's strictly magnetic. And it transforms that high voltage to a lower voltage, like 480 volts, that you could use, say, on a tower crane. Okay. At the house, it's generally around, I think it's like 6,000 volts coming to the house, and it gets knocked down on a transformer to 240 volts to come to your house.
Wow. Joe, I'm having one of those epiphanies right now. Go ahead.
That's how a transformer works. It's strictly by magnetic induction. The wires never touch.
Wow, this is powerful. I don't know if you guys are picking up where I'm going here, but this unbelievable burst of energy is coming through that wire, but I can't handle it all. If I plugged my little computer into that wire coming in here, it would blow it up because it's far, far too powerful. And so we have a thing called a transformer, which reduces the power to a usable form. Would that be safe, Joe? Is that a safe way to say it? That it takes this.
It's a usable form. But the reason it's a high voltage is because at a high voltage, let's see if I can remember this right. Okay, here's a mathematic equation. It's called pi. Power is as simple as pi. Power equals current times voltage. Voltage is E, current is I, power is watts.
Okay?
All right? So in order to bring the power from the power station to you, it has to come at a very high power so it could have a very low current. Current is what creates the heat. Okay? And so they step it down all the way to your house.
Folks, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Isn't that a picture of the Holy Spirit? Could we ever be able to handle the untransformed Holy Spirit? You understand what I'm saying, Joe? If we were to actually get a burst directly from God without a transformer in the middle of it, oh my God, what it would do to us, right? So that's why.
Oh, that vaporization.
So when the Bible says that we are to be transformed, there is a power coming. There's a power coming, and that power that's coming and that is available to us is that same power that spoke the world into existence. Think about that a second. It's that same power. It's that same Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit, that same power out there that created everything that we see, that same power is able to be transformed into a usable voltage. Is that the right word, Joe? The usable, it's a usable voltage. That's why sometimes when I'm sitting around here, I say, ooh, I felt that. You guys ever do that? Ooh, I felt that. Because it was a jolt above what would be the normal transformer voltage. Holy smoke, is that something? Of all the words that the scripture could have used, transform. Wow. That's it, isn't it? That's it. And to think about this, that we have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness, a different voltage, into the kingdom of his dear son. Think about that transformation, what that whole thing was about. Those of you who are born again of the Spirit of God. That's why I said yesterday, look at that picture of me over there and I don't even recognize me. That wasn't me. I've been transformed. Everything about me transformed. Wow. I still don't get it, but I appreciate it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Jesus said, he said the Holy Spirit would be in John. He said the Holy Spirit will be in us, with us, and on us.
And through us.
We could talk about that for 3 days.
Wow, man, oh man, oh man. Stephanie, the former Wiccan, says, certain meat suits are stronger. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Certain meat suits are stronger transformers and can handle stronger currents. Oh, my goodness. It's in their wiring and the energy and the blood. That is why the dark side follows bloodlines. Oh, my goodness. Wow, 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 wow. That's...
Hey, there's more to it, Coach.
No, you're going to scare me.
Our body... Well, Joe talked about pi. There's also something called resistance. So resistance, your body has a resistance to electricity. And things like stress changes your body resistance. Hmm. So when you're stressed, you're more susceptible to electric fields.
Wow.
Because of your stress. It changes your body's conductivity. Its ability mm-hmm. to transfer electricity. So stress, your brain, can change your body's resistance to electricity. How about that?
It's more than I can take in, actually. But it makes sense, doesn't it? We do know this, fellas, guys, girls. You do understand that you're an electrical, whatever. You're powered by electricity. We all are, right? How do I know that? Because I know this. I know this, if you fall over dead and your heart's not beating, what do? They come and zap you. What do they zap you with? An electrical charge, right? They restart that engine. They put that battery charger on you. Well, jumper cables on you. They put those jumper cables on you and they try to restart your battery. So, oh, geez. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Can I tell you a miracle yesterday? I love sharing miracles. I was up at Sky High yesterday. This will make sense to Mark Trump and probably make sense to Joseph, maybe Joseph Allen, maybe to Gary, maybe a few others. This is an absolute miracle. I have to have some septic work done up there. And so last August, when I originally called the septic guy, he came and he ran two cameras down through the lines to try to find a septic tank. This is about last August. And because I wasn't ready to deal with it at the time, right? So he ran these two cameras down two different things, and then the camera stopped. Got blocked by something. Couldn't figure out what it was. And so he said, listen, you got to dig a 30-inch hole and you got to get down to where that pipe is, and then I can re-enter into that pipe and I can follow. But you got to dig that 30-inch hole in the ground before I do it. And so he left a marking, Mark. I don't know if you remember that. He left that green marking there. Well, it's been 7 months. There's no green markings there. No green markings. So I was out there yesterday, and I tried. He sent me a picture, original picture of where I needed to dig. Well, the marker's not there anymore. It isn't there anymore. So I took the picture, and I held it up and stood, and I went to the garage, the corner of the garage. I went up to the corner. I stood in three different angles, had my brother-in-law Carl with me. I said, Carl, where do you think it is? Where was that mark? Because I had the picture of it. I had the picture of the X. I mean, I could see it, but it wasn't there anymore. And I'm trying to find a pipe, right? Trying to dig down to 30 inches and try to find a pipe. Well, what if you dig down 30 inches to find a pipe and you're in the wrong spot? Then you got to dig 30 inches someplace else. So it was pretty important that I dig in the right place. And I had no idea where it was, man. I had no idea. And I prayed, said, Lord, you got to help me here because I got to find that thing. And so Carl and I and then a couple guys were working at the house. I had the camera. I had the picture of the green X's on my phone. I said, it's somewhere right in here, and I'm showing them, and we're all kind of looking and walking. And we said, well, I think it's right here. Be about right here, Coach. Dig right here. So I dig a 30-inch. That's deep, folks. What's a shovel? I dig a 30-inch, get down in there. And so I'm figuring. So I said, well, I got to expand the hole. So I expand the hole about 4 inches. I go down about 4 inches, and boom, I'm right on top of this pipe. 30 inches down on the ground, I'm right on top of this pipe. But are you ready for the miracle? I don't even know how to show you the miracle. Let me get the screen so I can see myself so I can show you the miracle of God. It's an unbelievable miracle. So if you were going in a straight line, another way, how do I show this? I'm digging on a straight line. So I could dig back here. It's hard. I could dig back here or I could dig up here and still be on the straight line, right? So I dug here and I didn't hit anything and I kept digging. I didn't dig this way. I dug this way. And you know what I did, Mark? I dug right down into a T pipe. I hit right on top of that T pipe. If I'd have kept digging this way, I'd still be digging. I'd have never found it. But when I dug right down, I dug right down on the elbow turn on that pipe. Now that may not be, folks, I'm telling you, that may not be a miracle to you, but it was an absolute miracle to me that I walked out there with no idea, dug 30 inches down and hit right at that elbow. That's how I know sometimes the Lord's with me. So I had to dig down, the septic guy's going to come, we'll get it all straight. It humbled me. It humbled me. Lord's doing miracles around us all the time. All the time. And we don't get it. I didn't miss that one. I want the Lord to know, buddy. I didn't miss that one. I didn't miss that one. Okay, here we go. I gotta show you this. I got this from this encouraged me. Is it Sheldon? Sheldon working the thing today? Hey Sheldon, pull up Ohio Pastors Stand Up. And I saw this today and it just encouraged me. These guys are in Mansfield, Ohio. In fact, two of the guys in the picture, excuse me, go back at the top second there, Sheldon. I'm sorry. This caught my eye. And I thought, what? Over 100 pastors signed a letter to Ohio Board of Education opposing yoga meditation being taught in schools. Thought, what a hot getting 100 pastors to sign anything. These guys are waking up. And they signed this letter and they got a hold of the Ohio Board of Education, said, we don't want yoga taught in our schools anymore. Scroll down a little bit, Jared. Sheldon. So this goes on down there and shows you what's going on up around Mansfield, that they're teaching yoga in kindergarten. Kids are going through yoga classes. There's a picture of on the screen right now, the little kids bending over and doing their yoga. It almost looks like bowing to Allah, if you want to know, right? So some pastor, I don't know who organized, they have a pastor's group up there, I know, who are very, very, very active. And one of them grabbed the bull by the horns and says, this has got to stop. This is Buddhism. This is This is transcendental meditation. This is not Christian. This is another religion. And we don't want this taught in our schools. We don't want it taught in our schools. So they got together. They wrote a letter. And they took it to the State Board of Education. And scroll on down. I want you to see a two-minute video right here, 2 minutes. And I just want to amen these guys up here. Two of the guys who you're going to see interview, Mark Hamilton, who's a professor at Ashland University. I go back a ways with Mark. Back when we were in college, we played baseball against each other. I've known Mark for years. And the other pastor is a rabbi. And they're working together. Play this two-minute clip here.
We have a family that their children are in the Lexington School District, and it's a concern for me personally. We see the yoga being taught in the school district itself.
When we begin to put it into the public arena and specifically coerce people into the public school system to take courses on yoga, we are violating the Establishment Clause, the separation of church and state, the separation of religion from the public sector. So I think we need to take a stand.
Why not give them good lunch, good food, nap time, break, and let them meditate on that? It served just as well. So we view it as a sense of Eastern religion, which it is.
In that practice, there's always the attempt to yoke yourself. The word yoga means to yoke yourself to Brahman. It's an attempt for the soul of man, the Atman of man, to link itself to Brahman.
I don't see it as something that is to be taken lightly. I think that we need to examine this and take this out of the school district. I think it's harming our children.
I've taught many classes in the philosophy of religion, and in that practice, I've also studied Hinduism and yoga and the relationship between the two. Certainly, it's clear to anyone who studies these issues that yoga is a necessary part of Hinduism.
Hey, I'm not the only one who has this concern. There's 105 congregations all over that agree with the same, and there's a letter that they all agree to. And also state official, Columbus, 5th, 40th district, they're going to receive the letter, they're receiving it. So it's a big thing.
105 congregations actually agreed on something. Isn't that something? Doesn't that show us, again, the power that we have of biblical unity? What if the 105 pastors got together on abortion, Planned Parenthood coming into the school? There's just so many ways that we could be winning and attacking, but we're just not organized. So that really, really encouraged me, and I just wanted to give a tip of the cap to Rabbi Hallibrook, who's been really, really, really good to me, and Mark Hamilton, those guys, and what they're doing up there, and Greg Jay up in your area, up in Mansfield area. God bless them, man. We can still win. So I got a question for you today. What's normal? And as you're watching this show right now, we all fall into patterns in our lives, patterns of behaviors, patterns of what we do. And people are saying, boy, let's get back to normal. We just need to get back to normal. And I got thinking, what does that even mean? What does normal mean? Does normal mean we need to get back to everybody getting up in the morning, farming their kids off to public school? Is that normal? Does it mean everybody getting back up and spending all their time and effort and energy on watching football games, turn on ESPN at night? Is that normal? Is that getting back to normal? Getting back to normal, does that mean going back to fast food? Does that mean not spending time at home with your kids around the table, getting back to normal? When we talk about getting back to normal, what does that even mean? Somebody help me. What's that mean? And who determines what's normal?
You know, I've been telling people all along since the beginning of this coronavirus thing, we don't want to get back to normal because normal in our society is such a huge prevalence of evil in our society. We want to push back to normal 1776 maybe, but not normal December of 2019.
Okay, so what does the world mean when they say we want to get back to normal? Remember, I'm still talking about transformation here. Okay, I don't know if you've picked up on. I'm still in that same vein, transforming, being transformed. What's normal? Can somebody describe normal for me? Normal in America that we want to get back to?
Okay, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be this whatever has been considered a system of acting, believing, speaking, whatever term you want to use, that's been established over a period of time that's become generally accepted by members of society.
Gary, is your normal, my normal, the same?
Probably not.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
In America, normal is insanity because sin is insanity.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Mike. Except for traveling, I haven't changed a whole lot. Yeah, go ahead. Come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say, okay, this nation was established on Christian values. That's what our normal is. Okay, our normal is Christian established values. They've been changed and mutated over time, but that's the core.
That's what it's supposed to be. But when people talk about getting back to normal, they're not talking about getting back to Christian values. Because I would bet you this, and this is one of the been one of the focuses of our show, I think, is can we create a new normal? Do we want to create a new normal? And what kind of normal is that going to be? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a new normal. There is going to be a new normal. And we have an opportunity now to remake that new normal. We're going to do that? What does that look like? How would we go about that? A normal for you and a normal for me, are they the same? Should they be the same? These all, folks, there's a lot of programming going on. That's what I'm going to show. So I'm going to show you something here. I came across a new, somebody out there lurking out there watching the show. Sent me this today, and I thought, wow, this is really, really something, right? Pull up Getting Back to Normal. Getting Back to Normal. I'm sorry, Sheldon, if you can't pull that up, but Getting Back to Normal. Folks, you understand? here's the question. This is what caught my eye. Why you're wearing a mask? The pagan ritual of transformation. I caught my eye. What? You mean the pagans are into transformation? You there, Stephanie? Are you there, Stephanie? Are the pagans into transformation as well? Do the pagans understand this? Do they understand this energy thing better than us, Stephanie?
Oh, they live it every second of every breath of every day. They really do.
And so that's what casting the spells and following the high holidays, they're looking for that energy, right? That something outside themselves that's going to propel or power them to new levels. Would that be fair to say that?
Yeah.
Because you don't plug into a transformer to go to sleep, do you? You plug into a transformer to take an energy source and change it into a usable thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, why are you wearing a mask? This really caught my eye. Let's read down through this article with me. There's a video associated with it as well. But folks, this is part of the programming. See, they're trying to take us out of normal. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be the transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be not conformed to the world. The world is, wow, Tom gets deep. The world is constantly trying to conform us. And this power of God and the power of darkness, both are trying to transform us. Both are trying to use the forces of power to a particular end. We're being transformed. Can you scroll down, Sheldon? Scroll down through this page a little bit. There's a video there. This caught my eye because it's about wearing masks. But I want to stay with me here, okay? I know it's kind of boring to read. Read along with me if you want to. It's on the screen. Julian Huxley once warned that basic elements in cultural transformation and transformation are psychological. This is how we change. Since time immemorial, high rituals have been formed to transform reality. We're going to talk about the purpose of the mask. Ritual is a spiritual psychodrama of consciousness, a deliberate action taken to facilitate change. Changes to the whole of the environment people exist in, starting with their mental landscape of the people themselves, the place where our reality exists, and the firstborn in a dream. In other words, normal is your life as you live it. And in order to get you to accept change, they have to change your normal. All right? Artist Sharon Devon once bluntly described the true purpose of ritual as a method to alter one's mind. The sacred drama in which you are the audience as well as the participant. And the purpose is to activate parts of the mind that are not activated by everyday activity. Yesterday, I was sitting with my wife. We were having a conversation. She's on her phone. I said, are you talking to me or the phone? Which one are you talking to, right? So I had to shake her back into consciousness of something that she was programmed to do. I'm just as bad. I'm not picking on her. Programmed to do that, I don't even think about it. Just an impulse comes, pick up my phone, check on my phone. That's not very good when you're trying to talk to somebody else, right? Okay, so what I'm heading towards, I don't want to take time to read all this because this is, it's just dry when you people read. Scroll on down, folks. Listen to me. Where there are three stages of the initiation of a ritual. Listen, folks. Oh, Lord. Please don't get offended. Don't get offended. All right? Wearing a mask, asking people to wear a mask in the guise of safety is a transformative norm that is being broken. People don't wear masks. When you see somebody with a mask on, it is out of the ordinary. If you were to walk into a bank with a mask on, everybody would look at you because it is out of the normal. Yet, all across America, people are wearing masks. And if somebody didn't know what was going on and they walked into, I went into, where was that yesterday? Lowe's. I walked into Lowe's and I looked around and I thought I was looking for the Lone Ranger. They were everywhere. People wearing masks. Why? Because they are creating a new normal. Stay with me. The three stages of an initiation ritual to change the way we all think now. Stay with me. Let's see if any of these three stages sound familiar to you. The first stage is isolation for purification. If they were going to do a ritual ceremony, boy, I wish I had Holly in here today. Maybe Stephanie can help. But if they're going to do a ritual of some type of demonic ritual on somebody, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to lock them in isolation. To get them in isolation and away from any other human influences that this person might be done, okay? In this stage, the initiate is separated from the mundane. Did you know that mundane literally means of the world? So we all have a normal. We all have a new normal, okay? The initiate is largely removed from otherwise familiar persons, places, and things that they're used to in order to do what? To clear their mind. Now, just think about what they're doing to us here. I don't know. I'm just passing on information here. They tell you, get isolated away from your normal environment, the people you normally hang out with. Some people, my buddy Norm drove out here again yesterday to visit me because why? He's a person. He's a people person. He needs to be around people. And his entire ritual is broken. Anybody picking this up? An initiate is forced to become detached and insulated, purged, and purified. An essential element of the separation from one's typical environment is the suspension of the normal rules of living that one is used to. In other words, the normal way. If they want to transform, ritually transform somebody, the first thing they do is put them in isolation and break them away from their normal way. Wow. Anybody feeling this yet? Most of the initiate senses will become commanded and regulated at this time. In other words, the majority of what the initiate sees, hears, and smells, touches, and tastes is deliberately controlled. Hey, kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. I'm not making fun of anybody wearing a mask. I'm not making fun of any of it. Never let a crisis go to waste, they tell us. Scroll on down. Number one is what? To get you alone, to isolate you, to break it through. In the ritual, the three senses, in the ritual, the senses may be bombarded, modified, limited, or deprived, but regardless, perceptions and experiences are ultimately overseen by the high priest and priestess directing the ritual's performance. Here we call it Governor Mike DeWine. They've broken down everything we normally do, and now they're telling us what we are permitted to do. Stephanie, am I doing okay on this thing? Is this making sense?
Huh? You're right over bullseye, Coach.
Huh? Is this a programming that's going on? Are the kings of this earth, the demonic realm, in the appearance of good programming?
Yes, it is. And I want to add that one of the things I taught in my workshops to people to help, it was called imagination evolution, to open yourself up, was mask, making yourself a mask and costume. I am well known for my costume and mask because once you put that mask on too, it's easier to take in something else and literally it's a huge part of the ritual. And a lot of times you're not allowed food. You don't allow, I mean, it's not allowed, but I mean, you don't eat and there's no alcohol. I mean, there's no drugs. Everyone thinks the pagans are always partying. You're not allowed drugs and you're not allowed alcohol. And you literally pull yourself away to get your energies clear, because they're very well the fact that everybody you're around touches your energy.
We're heading into a new normal. Okay, listen, come on, stay with me. With nowhere else to go except the places that we're allowed to go, the insulated, isolated, irritated, maybe forced to confront his or her own reflection and inner shadows, energy that have been ignored or buried somewhere deep beneath the average day-to-day. Three, these things suddenly become unavoidable. Triggers are detonated, and that's another purge. They are literally transforming the way you think, the way you act, where you go, what you do. Maybe not you guys. Maybe you guys are plugged into the Holy Spirit enough that it's not happening to you. But you look around and you look how people are being changed and manipulated everywhere you go. All, after all, for someone to be given something must also be taken away. A token of submission, an ounce of blood, a pound. You want to stay healthy? Okay, can't go here. And they always do it around death. Whether dramatically overt or deceitfully subtle, the ritual interprets a reality. A new definition of reality is now given. Training the form of new behaviors and knowledge, including myths and codes, are introduced. New ways. This is unbelievable, isn't it? You can go here and you can go there. And you can go to church on this day. Maybe you can't go to church on this day. And you can go here. Repetition is typical. Its use helps hammer home the spells of the initiates. Uh-oh. And then they come to the wearing of masks for the initiates. The wearing of masks during initiation rituals almost always required. Masking has traditionally played an important role in the rituals of these kinds. Go on down, scroll down. Okay, hang on. Disguised, but down a little, up a little bit more, Sheldon. I'm sorry. Disguised under a mask and hidden away, the person is more easily able to transcend the self. People can't see you. They don't know who you are. Why do people put a mask on when they go in to rob a bank? Because nobody knows who they are. So when you put a mask on, you have a sense of anonymity that you've never had before. And so then you're pushed toward that invisible line between the physical and the spiritual realms. You begin to see things differently. So trauma is yet another key aspect of this kind of initiation ceremony. It's used mostly to personalize the fear of death. Sometimes in the ritual, the act of dying is ceremonially role-played. the dark beyond the darkness, the yawning abyss. Only after death is confronted can the initiate be resurrected and born anew, a new normal. You're going to come out of this a new normal. While the process that is being played out is quite coordinated and sophisticated in reality, it may be executed in a purposeful, confusing manner so that the goalposts seem to be constantly moving. You can go here. You can't go anywhere, but you can go here. And you can go here if this is constantly changing the goalposts. My goodness, what? This renders the initiate unable to find solid mental ground from which to make logical sense of anything. This disorientation is key in the transformation ritual. Transformation, there's that word. The uncertain timing generates a general anxiety. Anybody say amen? Further removing the initiate from a reality while leaving him or her more susceptible to a type of Pavlovian conditioning. You're going to be wearing a mask and then you're going to be wearing earplugs. And then after you're wearing earplugs and a mask, and you're going to have certain shoes on. And so after these first three steps, the change begins. Transition, this is the second phase, the transition. As the old self, the old normal, symbolically dies, passes away, while the new normal comes. A sort of illuminity, in other words, an enlightening, a sort of fever, dream, purgatory, nowhere land, the void in the middle. Thus, the old self, the old way of doing things, dies as the initiate is purified. The initiate is now a white room, a blank canvas, washed, primed, and desperate for a point attack. You understand you've been reprogrammed. And then they start talking to you about the global warming and all this other stuff that's going on, and it's all interrelated and blah, blah, blah. And then we get into the integration, as at some point in the future we will see the final phase of the transformation, the ritual, which is integration. Does any of what's been described in this article sound familiar to you? Let's go back up a little bit. Thus, the old self dies as the initiate is purified. At the same time, his old existence and old way of life dies. They say 40% of the unemployed are going to be unemployed after we open up. It's not going back to normal. The initiate transcending it is gradually being processed, reprogrammed, and incorporated into his new environment, new normal. Reformed, reconstituted, and rebirthed into the new world that awaits at the end of the tunnel. What do you think? Is this what's going on?
Ouch. I think it's just proof that carbon dioxide poisoning works.
For those of you in Rio Lindo, as Rush would say, carbon dioxide poisoning means that's what you're breathing in when you put your mask on. You're breathing. You're not breathing clean oxygen back into your brain, right? So we see this stuff. See, you know what's normal. That's why I asked at the beginning here, what's normal? What's normal? Going to church normal? For you, it's normal. Is that going to return? We're going back to that? Are we going back to solid jobs and solid money and the same dollar and the same currency and the throwaway society where your lawnmower breaks and you could just buy a new one rather than fixing the old one, you just buy a new one? Is that new normal going away? And who's determining that new normal? And what happened to the old one? And what are we going to do to shape our own new normal? I don't know. I don't even know what I'm at this point in this show. I don't even know how to close this. But I think it's important for us to understand the opportunity that is before us. Whether we want to believe it or not, they have taken this coronavirus, real or not real, pandemic or not pandemic, and they are using it as a transformational moment in the history of the world. Does anybody deny that?
Amen.
Somebody come on in here. Thanks, Jeff. Transformer.
Dave, I'm just going to say that I kind of think the definition of the normal is any type of routine that doesn't require you to be inconvenienced.
Say that again. That's very good. Say that again.
Any routine that doesn't require you to be inconvenienced.
That's good.
Because that is what we've experienced here. See, there's not a food shortage. There's food. Just can't get it like you could. At will, like you could. There's you can go outside, you can do certain things, but you just can't do it like you could, like before. It's just a change.
Mm-hmm.
So inconvenienced right now at this point.
So let me ask you this, folks. I want you to think about this. In this transformation that's gone on, and we can argue all day whether, remember what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Can Christians take evil intentions and make good out of it? Is the prosperity gospel coming back? Will the prosperity gospel carry any weight on the other side of what we are going through?
Now that is a good question, Dave. That is a great question.
That's why I ask it. Because, as I said, and please don't anybody take this wrong, okay? Don't take this wrong. Our donations are down. Now, why are our donations down? We know why they are, right? Because there's a transformation that's taking place. And people who were generally giving before now are probably a little bit hesitant to give. Can you imagine the impact that's going on in some of these mega churches? As people who've been taught, you know, plant your seed and, you know, you'll get a return on it. And you don't get if you don't give. All that malarkey that we hear in that movement. That thing going to come back strong, you think? Is that going to come back? I don't know.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah?
They will be considered non-essential churches.
Well, they've already determined that themselves, Gary. I think they've already.
No, actually, those churches are essential for the distraction and the dividing of the believers. Those are essential because they, and I'm saying this as far as the deep state goes, you got to have those because it's misinformation. So they are going to come back. They'll find a way to put a spin on it. To make them be versatile and viable again.
Chad, I believe this. We're going to see many close. We're going to see many churches close. I don't even know how. I don't have to pay the bills now. How long has it been, folks? How long has it been since we've had churches normal? Has it been 8 weeks yet? Does anybody know? We were messing around at 40 days there for a while, saying it's 40 days. You know, we've been. How long has it been? How many? We haven't been allowed to have church.
We'll be on our seventh Sunday this week. We've been open. So,
Dave, many of the churches are getting the government money for.
Roger, don't say that. Government bailout.
That's how they're staying open. They've applied for the payroll whatever program.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We've been on the heavenly program. We've received nothing from the government. Our church offerings have doubled in the past 2 months. We've not stopped one service. Brother, when you do it God's way, it's the right way. You feel good about it, and the Lord's hand is upon it and blesses it.
So, Dale, but you would agree with me, Dale, that there's many, many, many churches that are not going to come out of this very well. Would you agree with that?
But Lord, we always have to understand the Lord, the word of the Lord. It is what it is, and it says what it says, and that there's going to be a remnant, Coach, not a multitude and not the majority. It is a remnant. It is a small amount. And I say this, there are good churches out there. I understand if a person's not going, they're part of another fellowship, home fellowship. But to just say, well, that one's too far away, that's a problem in a person's heart. I believe there are some good churches out there who could testify the same thing I'm saying.
I believe it too. But I believe it's a it's a purging going on. So the question, I'm looking at the clock, I'm running out of time. What's the new Christian normal going to be? Because, see, we have an opportunity. We get to play in this Reformation, folks. We can have a very significant role. Christians, I'm talking about, a very significant role in this Reformation that we see. Transformation, Reformation, deformation, use whatever term you want to. Normal, they're telling us over and over, as we just read in that article, normal is going away. What role do we play in that? What role does the church play in the new normal? I don't even know if we're thinking that way.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Last night, that's what Pastor Bill did in Tuesday Night Church in the Garage. A hard-hitting message. One of the pastors sitting there, nice guy, just way too nice. But he went through all this with this fluffy church and how the church has let down society and all this nonsense. And he hammered this. And one of the guys sitting beside the pastor started laughing because he's a Joel Osteen nut. He loves Joel. And all Pastor Bill hammered this thing. And when it was all done and over with, Pastor Bill told me, he said, "Do you see a pastor come up to me?" And said, "Buddy, that was hard hitting. I think I needed that." But it's time for the hard hitting message.
People are going to come to it. By the way, it's been time for it. I think people are going to come. Again, what's the point here? Well, folks, there's a transformation taking place. We're in the midst of a transformation. It can be a godly one, or it can be a devilish one. But if we ignore the fact that there's a transformation taking place all around us, and we are behind the eight ball on this one, we'll never have this opportunity again. And I don't know how this plays out, and I wish I could have a plan for what we need to do at this time, but I'm going to tell you something. Whoever moves into this void of this old, phony, fake Christianity, whoever moves into that void, is going to create a movement that I believe will impact the world. If we'll move into that void. Because Christians are Christians no matter what. Whether they're connected with their church or whether they're connected with tithing, that's deeply embedded in them. That is a normal for them. Where are they going to go to try to recapture that normalcy? That normalcy is never, ever coming back. What is the new normal? What's it going to look like? What's it going to look like? What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. Remember, Jesus said that because they believed the lie, that God himself would send a strong delusion. Because we rejected the truth, he would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And are we being programmed through the media, through the government, through the dark forces to accept, believe, and behave in ways that we never would have done it before? And where is the Lord trying to take that? And where is the enemy trying to take it? That's the task that lies before us. Bless you. See you tomorrow. We'll put those links. We'll put the links in this chat here that you can get. You can see about that, what I read there. God bless you.